Begin the current daf in Sechtes Yuma, daf Nun Aleph. Begin four lines down at the top of the Yamid. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, Rabbi Elazar had the following question. Rabbi Elazar wanted to know, regarding the one that holds that the Par of Yom Kippurim is considered Karban Yachid, he asked, will one be able to make that bull of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim into a Temura? Will make a Temura out of it? In other words, to transfer that Kedusha to another animal with the halachas of Temura, or not? And as the Gemara ultimately explained what his question was, that although we go after the miskaprim, those who are getting the atonement, and it seems like that there's more than one person, it's all the kahanim getting the atonement. Hence, we know that a carbon of shutfin, all these kahanim are partners in this carbon, and therefore, they're the ones who define the halachas of temura, cannot make temura. So what was this question? And that the Gemara explained this question was, do we really say that the only one getting the kapara is the kohen gadol? And ancillary to that, just as floating on the top of the surface, so to speak, the kahanim get part of that kapara, but it's really a karban yochid, even for the lachas of kapara, and hence one could make a temur out of it? Or do we say that we say they're kiva kapara, they're actually real partners in this kapara, and therefore we'll consider a full-fledged karban of shutfin regarding the lachas of temur, and therefore one cannot make a temur out of that? That was the question Blaza posed. Now, the Gemara tried attempting a proof. The Gemara tried to attempt the proof from a Brice that said that there's stringencies that a Zevach has over Temura, and there's stringency that Temura has over a Zevach. So it said that what are the stringencies that the Zevach has over the Temura? So it said that, first of all, that the Zevach means the original carbon. That A, it could pertain both by Yochid and the Tzibur, where Temura cannot be by Tzibur. A Zevach, an original carbon, could be Decha Shabbos and Tumah, which is not the case by a Temura because it doesn't have a set time. And also that an original carbon can make a Temura, whereas a Temura cannot make a Temura, like it says, Hayuhu Temurasei Kaidish, but not that Temura's Temurasei can make another Temura. Now, the Gemara tried demonstrating and saying, now, if it's a carbon Yachid, then how can we say that it has Decha Shabbos and Tumah? If it's a carbon Sibra, then how are we saying you make a Temura out of it? How do we understand all these three stringencies in the same carbon? So the Gemara said, must be, it's a reference to the power of the Kohen Gadol Mikippurim, where it's a chatas that applies by a yachid and a tzibur. It's also Decha Shabbos and Tumah because it has a designated time on Yom Kippur. And it's also, and this was what the proof was supposed to be, it's a carbon of a yachid, and that's why you can make a Temura out of it. And that answers Rabbi Elazar's question, that you see you could make a Temura out of it. And the Gemara said no, that Rav Shesha said that you could say it's talking about the case of the aisle that he brings on Yom Kippur, which that's really a carbon of a yachid. That's not for the rest of his brothers to kahanim. And that's why that would be the case of the zevach, which is a carbon yachid. You can make a tumor out of it, but it has a designated time. And that's something that it's an oil which can be brought also for a ziyachid or tzibur. And that was the case of the braisa. And therefore, there's no raya to resolve the question of Elazar. That's why our Gemara on this current daf continues. The Gemara asks, Ula Rav Sheshes, according to Rav Sheshes, that he disproved the raya from the braisa to answer Rabbi Elazar's question and saying, you see that the power of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim is considered Karban Yachid because what is the case must be the case of the power that's unique, that although it's Decha Shabbos and Tumah, but it's still a Karban Yachid that can make a Temura. And then Rav Sheshes said, no, you could say it's talking about the aisle, the ram that he brings. So the Gemara asks, Adamukim lo be'eli shel Aaron. He tries saying that it could be a different case, so he says it's talking about the case of the ram of Aaron of the Kohen Gadol. But look, my Pesach, he could have said what would seem to be a more common application of the zevach, which is carbon Pesach. The Decha es haShabbos v'esatoma. We know carbon Pesach is done whether the erev Pesach on the 14th of Nisan is Shabbos or even if this toma. And v'esat temura, you could also make a temura out of the carbon Pesach. The carbon yachidhu, because the carbon Pesach is a carbon that every single individual brings, and therefore you can make a temura out of it. And as Tais Yisham explains, the third criteria that we said that this zevach is noig b'tzibur k'v'yachid is also pertains, as is the opinion of Rabbi Nassin brought in Masechtos Pesachim, the Fayin Chesem Beis, that it could also have the entire Jewish people, a carbon sibur, bringing one carbon Pesach, even though they won't be able to eat from it, but that's the halacha that he says, that all the Jewish people could fulfill their carbon Pesach with one carbon, so that would also pertain to the other stringency, that it's noig b'tzibur k'v'yachid, which those three did not apply by Temura. So why don't we pick Karban Pesach? It would have been an easier answer instead of saying that it's talking about the ram of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. It's just to say Zevach is the case of a Karban Pesach that has all those three stringencies that a Temura doesn't have. That thing where it says, Ksavar, Rav Shesh is held, that ain't Shechtin HaPesach Ala Yachid, that one is not allowed to slaughter Karban Pesach for an individual. And that it's like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that's quoted in Masechet Pesachim on the Tzadi Aleph Amin Aleph, that he learns that from the pasuk of Leisucha Lizbeich as a pasach ba'echad, although that ba'echad is part of the larger the context of the pasuk, but the way he translates that one cannot slaughter the Karban Pesach ba'echad for one person. Now, since the Karban Pesach, that means could only come with at least two people, it means it's going to be partners in the Karban Pesach, and therefore, he held that that can't be the case of the Zevach, having the stringency of being able to make a Temura out of it, because you can never make a Temura out of a Karban Pesach, because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that you can't slaughter a Karban Pesach for an individual. But then the Gemara asks, okay, fine, it cannot be talking about a case of Pesach, but Venukma be Pesach Sheni. But why didn't you say that this Zevach is the Pesach that comes on the 15th of Iyar, which is, that could even be brought with an individual. That doesn't have to be brought with more than one partner, because that Leisuch L'Zbayach is going in Pesach Rishon, and therefore you'll have all the three stringencies, and therefore you don't have to say the case of Eilish, the Isle of Aaron. And I think my response to that option, Mi Dachi Tumu, who says that Pesach Sheni is Deichet Tumu? As Rashi explains, because there's an opinion we're going to quote later on that says that Pesach Sheni is not Deichet Tumu. So that wouldn't be an option either, because we were saying that this Zevach, whichever one that is something that's Deichet Shabbos and Tumah. So now the Gemara goes back to the previous Daf, on Daf Nun, that and asks the following question. Amli Rav Huna b'ridi Rishu l'Rava. So Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, said to Rava, he says, now, V'tana, that Tana that we had been discussing on Daf Nun and Aleph, that was the discussion that Remeir and Rabbi Yaakov were arguing on him, that he said the general rule was that Karban Tzibur is Deichet Shabbos and Tumah, and Karban Yochid's not. So they both asked on him and said, well, you can find Tzibur's that's not Deichet Shabbos and Tumah, you can find Yochid's that are Deichet. Now, the Gemara asked a question on that Tana. Maishno Pesach de Karli Karban Yochid, why is it that he considers, which was the question of Remeir that he had on him, that the Karban Pesach is considered Karban Yochid and yet still it's Deichet Shabbos and Tumah? And why is Chagiga different? The Karli Karban Tzibur that he's calling a Karban Tzibur, which was Rabbi Yaakov's question. That although it's a Karban Tzibur, it's not Deichet Shabbos and Tumah. Now the Gemara is introducing this, going back over there, because as we had just explained regarding the halachas of Karban Pesach, regarding if it's going to be considered something that is a Karban Tzibur or a Karban Yochid, regarding if it's the halachas of his Deichet Shabbos and Tumah, because that's what we just answered, why Rav Sheshes didn't hold those were options to explain the case of the Braisa, where he said it had to be told by the Eilish Shel Aaron if we don't want to say it's the par, because it can't be Pesach Rishon, because that has to be with partners, and you can make it Temura. It can't be Pesach Sheni, because Pesach Sheni is not necessarily something that can be Deichet Tumah, and then that wouldn't have the stringency of the Zevach that the case of the Braisa is talking about. But now the Gemara is asking, now that Tana that we had on the previous staff, what's the difference between the Karban Pesach and the Chagiga that comes on Yom Tiv? And that is, why is the Karban Pesach considered Karban Yochid? And that was what they were asking on him. Oh, and you still see it's Deichet Shabbos and Tumah. In contrast to Karban Chagiga, where we're calling it a Karban Tzibur, and yet still it's not Deichet Shabbos and Tumah. As the Gemara says, Imishum da Asi B'Kanufya, if the reason why they wanted to consider a Karban Chagiga as a Karban Tzibur, and that was Rabbi Yaakov's question, and yet still it's not Deichet Shabbos and Tumah, because it comes with a large gathering of the entire Jewish people when they come on Yom Tovim. Now, that would be considering it a Karban Tzibur, it seems, even though it's not one Karban being brought by the public, but the public together are bringing their individual Karbanos Chagiga. But then Pesach Nami also Bechanufya. Karban Pesach is also brought with the masses of the Jewish people, and that should also then consider it a Karban Tzibur. So why is Reb Meir asking that, oh, you see, a Karban Yachad of Karban Pesach is yes, Deichet Shabbos and Tumah, but it's not. It's just like Chagiga, and therefore it's a Karban Tzibur. So the Gemara answer is that, Ika Pesach Sheini. Happens to be that, yes, Karban Pesach would be considered a Karban Tzibur. But Ramey's question was from Pesach Sheni, the Loyos Bechanufya, which doesn't come with large masses of people. The Tzibur is not pushed off. Only a few people that were impure, they get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. They are who we were talking about, that they're considered Karban Yochid, and yet still it has all these chumras. But that Omalei said to him, Im Kain, if you tell me Ramey was going on the case when he said Pesach was Pesach Sheni, then Yehidoyche Esat Shabbos Vesat Tumah, which just relates to what we were just discussing before. Then it sounds like Remeir saying that I have three karbanos of Yachid, which we're saying is not Pesach Rishon, because that would be considered Karban Tzibur, because it comes with the masses of the Jewish people, even though it's for every person privately. Rather, he's talking about Pesach Sheni. Oh, that's the Zevach. Those are three karbanos of Yachid that will have these. That will have the stringency of what? Of Deichet Shabbos Vesat Tumah, which goes against your rule, Talikama, that only Karban Tzibur is Deichet Shabbos Vesat Tumah. But then, what you're saying essentially is that Remeir holds, and that's what he was telling the Tanna Kamma, that Pesach Sheni is Deichet Shabbos and Tumah. So Amalei in, he says yes, and that's Kaman Amadachi. That's like the other opinion who holds that it is Deichet. So although the Gemara was answering for Rav Sheshes why he didn't pick Pesach Sheni as the case to having the three stringencies over Tumura, because who said it's Deicha Tuma? Because there is an opinion that holds Pesach Sheni is not. However, that's not difficult on the discussion we had in the previous daf, where we see that obviously according to what Ramey was telling Talei Kama, that we're considering the carbon Pesach Sheni as a carbon Yachid, yet it is Deicha Shabbos Tuma, that there is an opinion that holds that it is Deicha Tuma. The Talei Kama Brisa happens to be a Machlekes. Brisa says Pesach Sheni. So the Talei Kama says Deicha Shabbos. One can transgress the Isuri Shabbos to bring his the Pesach on the month of Iyar, but in the Deicha Tuma it does not violate the Isur of Tuma. Rabbi Yehuda says it is Deicha Tuma, and therefore that was the two options. We can say that Rav Sheshes did not want to choose that because who said Pesach Sheni can be the Zevach because there is an opinion that holds it's not Deicha Tuma. However, on the previous stuff it's not difficult because they're going like the one who says that it is Deicha Tuma, and that's what Ramey was telling Tana Kama, although Pesach Sheni is a Karban Yachid because it doesn't come b'chinufir to the masses of the people, but still we see it's Deicha Shabbos and Tuma. So therefore both have an opinion to go on. Now the Gemara wants to introduce that. Brisa asks, my time at the Tana Kama, what's the reason of the Tana Kama who he holds that Pesach Sheni is Deicha Shabbos, but it's not Deicha Tuma? So Amalach will tell you, look, Mimnei Tuma Dachisu, yes, it's Deicha Shabbos because it's a carbon Pesach, it has a set time, so that's Deicha Shabbos. But the reason why you bring a Pesach Sheni is because you were Tumah the first one, and we didn't want you to bring it in the state of Tumah. So we said, look, you were Tumah, so therefore we're pushing you off to Pesach Sheni. So because of Tumah, we pushed you off. And now V'yasav Tumah, now you're going to do it in Tumah? If we would allow you to do it in Tumah, we would have done the first one. Therefore, it's not Deicha Tumah, the Pesach Sheni. Rabbi Yehuda Malach, Rabbi Yehuda would tell you, no. Amakar, the Pesach tells you in Bamidbar, Kechol Chukas HaPesach Yasu Oysa, that the Pesach Sheni should be made with all the halachas that apply to the original carbon Pesach, which means Rafael Betuma, just like Pesach Rishon is done Betuma, which is when the majority of Jewish people are Tahar, when they're a majority of Tumah, then they do it in the state of Tumah. It's only when the minority of Tumah that we push them off, but essentially the carbon Pesach Rishon can be done in the state of Tumah. So therefore the same thing applies to Pesach Sheni, that it has the same halachas, that it could also be done in the state of Tumah. Now, regarding your question that you asked, wait a second, how can you tell me Pesach can be done in Tumah, the Pesach Sheni, If he's doing it in Tumah, he should have done it the first time anyway. Obviously, we don't want him doing it in a state of Tumah. On that, Rabbi Yehuda says, HaTorah hechziru alav la'asayis b'tar. The Torah attempted for this person to do it in a state of purity. But lo yizacha, if he didn't merit it, which his mazel was, that there he goes again, he's telling me that by this Pesach Sheni, then you send him a Tumah, then you do it in Tumah, because just like Pesach Rishon is Deicha, so too Pesach Sheni is also Deicha Tumah. Now the Gemara continues in Amud Beis, and that's the following question. But typically, and that is regarding the question that Rabbi Loza had posed on the previous staff, which we were continuing that discussion, regarding the power of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, do we consider that a Karban Yachad, that we can make a Tumura out of it, or not? And we said that the question was based on, do we say that the Kahanim, although it goes based on the Mechaprim, those who are getting the atonement, and it seems like there's many people getting atonement, all the Kahanim, so therefore how are we entertaining that it's a Karban Yachad to make a Tumura, is because maybe we said that the Kohen Gadol is really the only one getting the atonement. And they're just like secondary, and therefore maybe you could make a Tumura out of it. Or we said that no, maybe they're all equal partners in the atonement, they're all getting atonement with it, and therefore it's a Karban of Shutfin, and therefore you cannot make a Tumura out of it. That the Gemara asks right now, we should be able to prove that the Kahanim are only like we called Bekufya. They only get the atonement as a secondary, and therefore it should be considered Karban Yachad that we could make a Tumura out of. Why? Because as the Gemara says, De'ashra Loyam Rahman, the Torah tells you three times regarding the power of the Kohen Gadol Kippurim, Ashrulai, that is his. And that's to exclude the Tzibur and his brothers, the Kahanim, that the funds for this power cannot come from them, asking him strictly from the Kohen Gadol's own funds. And that is Mishaloi who maybe he has to bring from his own. And therefore, it would seem obvious that they are just a tuffle, they're just secondary, and therefore one could make a Tumura out of that power of the Kohen Gadol Kippurim. The time like Linda Bryson. The Bryce says, a Pasuk in Mikra says, Ashrulai, that this is the power that is his. What does that mean, that is his? It means Mishalai, who maybe has to bring the power from his own funds. V'lo Mishal Tzibah, not from the public funds. Now, you would still entertain, Yochalo Yavi Mishal Tzibah. You would think that, okay, you can't bring from the rest of the Jewish people's funds, She'en Latzibah Meskabrima, because they don't even get any atonement out of this. It's just for him. Avo Yavi Mishal Ocha V'Kahana, but that he should be able to bring from the funds of his brothers from the rest of the Kahanim, Sharei Ocha V'Kahan Meskabrima, because they also get an atonement from this power. It's Ba'adoi V'ad Beisai, it's for all the Kahanim. Tamalei Mashaloi, therefore it says a second time Mashaloi, a different pasuk that is for him, that to tell you that, no, again, it has to be his, not from the rest of the Kahanim. Now, but still, Yochalo Yavi, you would think that you cannot force them to give, to chip in, to pay for the par, which is atoning for them also. But v'mehevi kashri, we think, but if they do bring money, then it should be valid to purchase the carbon, the par, for all of them, that they're all paying for. Tamalim is sure, that's what it says again, asherloi, that it says a third time to say, shana hakasav olav ha'akam. The Torah repeated it again to say that no, not only that, they don't have to, actually they're not allowed to. It has to be from the Kohen Gadol's own funds. And therefore, it seems clearly the Gemara is asking that this is a carbon yachid. He's the only one that's essentially getting the atonement. He has to pay for it. It's his own carbon. And therefore, you can make a temura. And the other kind that are getting atonement is only some type of kufya, some type of floating on the surface, getting some secondary atonement. But therefore, it should be clear to answer Rabbi Loza's question that one could make a tumor out of it. And that the Gemara responds that it's not a raya. Because ultam meich, according to you, that you want to prove from this that it's a carbon yachid, but then achav ha-kahanim, his brothers are kahanim, ilav de konu begave, if they don't have any partnership in this, then heich mechapalhu, how do they get an atonement even bekufi, even in some secondary way? What does that mean? If you tell me it's strictly a carbon yachid, and therefore he can make a tumor out of it, so what partnership do they have to say that they're getting any atonement? Or rather, what do you have to say? Shani be gazed the Aaron, that obviously the funds that Aaron HaKoyin, the Kohen Gadol, is using to purchase this par, to afker achmona gabi achav akam, obviously the Torah on some level considered it ownerless, in other words, regarding the brothers to Kahanim, that the atonement should apply to them too. And if so, then you could continue that logic along. So hachigabe tumur nami, therefore you could say the same thing regarding the ability to make a tumor out of it. That shani begas the Aaron, obviously, that the funds of Aaron is different, because although he's paying for it, the afker achmona gabi achav kahanim, that the Torah considered it ownless regarding his brothers, the kahanim, and that really you could say that maybe their atonement is even bekviyusa, they're full-fledged partners. And again, therefore there's no raya to show and demonstrate how much it's an individual. You see, it's Ashulai, it's his, he has to pay for it. They're not allowed to even chip in, so of course you can make a tumura. No, because ultimately they're getting some type of atonement. So they obviously have some type of relationship with it. And how do they have that if they're not paying for it? Obviously the Torah considers it theirs even though they didn't pay for it. So take it one step further to say that not only that they have a part, they're full-fledged partners even though they didn't pay for it. And therefore, again, Rabbi Loza's question is still valid, that one could entertain and say that they're kaviyah miskaprim, they're actually full-fledged partners, and therefore one cannot make a tamura out of the par Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing along the process of the Seder Hayoim of Yom Kippur, which is the structure of our Masechta, which goes through from beginning to end, the five phases. And up until now, we went through the first phase, Bigdei Zahav, the golden garments, the eight begadim that the Kohen Gadol wears every day that he wore for the Tamid Shel Shachar Yom Kippur. Then he went to immerse in the mikvah, changed into white linen garments. Then he did the first video on this par between the Ulam and Mizbeach. Then he went to the northeastern part of the Azara to then do the lottery between the two Seirim. Then he came back to his par, did a second video, slaughtered it, got the blood, gave it over to someone else who's mixing it on the Revid Revi. Then he goes ahead, he gets the shovel full of the coals, comes down, does the chafina, he gets the handfuls of ketores, and he puts it into the ladle, the kaf, and this is where we are right now. And the Mishnah continues with this part of the process. So he's holding in his right hand the shovel full of coals, left hand he's holding the ketores, which he's going to place on top of the coals inside the kachim, and he's going. He was walking through, he enters into the sanctuary, into the heichel, where he's going westward in this direction, heading towards the kachim. Until he reaches between the two curtains that separate, that is, there's two curtains running from north to south, one an outer one and one an inner one, Hamavdilus ben Akodesh ben Kodesh HaKodeshim, which separate between the Heichel, the holy area, and the holiest of holies, the Kodesh HaKodeshim, those two curtains separate those two areas. Uvenein, and the airspace between those two curtains is an Amma. Rabbi Yisi argues, he says, Lohesus Shem El Pareches Achz Bavad. He says there was only one curtain, not two curtains. Like it says a pasuk in Shemais, it says v'hevdila ha-pareches lochem, that the curtain, which it says in the singular, should separate for you bein ha-kodesh bein kodesh ha-kodeshim, between the holy and the holiest of holies, and therefore you see that there was only one curtain. So the Gemara asks, shabu kamal hu Rabbi Yis Laban. Seems Rabbi Yis has a good proof to Rabban, and it says pareches in the singular, and that there was one curtain, not two curtains. So the Gemara says, Rabban Amri loch, Rabban would tell you, yes, that pasuk is true. Hanemile b'mishkan, that Pasuk was in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle that was in the desert. There was only one curtain. Abamikdash Sheni, but our Mishnayos, which are referencing to the second base of Migdash, Kivin Deloy Havya Amatraxin, since there was no Amatraxin, and that is as Rashi explains, there was a wall that separated between the Kodesh, between the Heichel, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the first place of Migdash. Now, Tosfos says the reason why it's called Trak Sin is a compound of Trak and Sin, because the word Truku, Gali, means to close the doors. So it means Trak, it closes the Luchis that were given by Sinai. That's why it's called Trak Sin. So in the times of the first base of Migdash, there was this Amathic wall called the Amatraxin. Now, the second base of Migdash did not have that wall. And the reason is because the second base of Migdash, the height of the first floor was 40 amas high. Therefore, they couldn't make the Amatraxin because a thickness of an ama of a wall cannot hold such a height. Now, therefore, we neither could we have added on to the thickness of the wall to then be able to support such a large height, because the pasuk says in Divrei Yamim that Hakol Bichsav Miyad Hashem Alai Hiskel, which means say that the measurements have to be precisely as Hashem told them. Now, although we're the height is greater now, we can't make the dimensions in the length or the width any difference, so we couldn't make that space of the Amatraxin wider than the Amma, but we couldn't make the Amatraxin either, because that Amma width of a wall would not support the height that was in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, however, Ube Mikdash Rishon Hu Dahavya, in the first Beis HaMikdash, which that was the one that was constructed based on Ksav Miyad Hashem, Alai Hiskel, now, so that was there. But Vistapku L'Rabban and Bikdu Shasei, now in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, which we couldn't make that wall anymore, the rabbis were in doubt regarding the sanctity of the actual area of where the wall was, where now there's no more wall. Ikilifnim Ikilachutz. Does the wall have the sanctity of the inner area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim or of the outer area of the Heichel? Now, because so we can't make it into Heichel if it has a higher sanctity, and we can't make it higher if it has lower sanctity. So therefore, Avich de Pareches, that's why they made in the times of the second base of Midrash two curtains to then hold in between it the ear space of where the wall used to be, so that it should be like a wall, because it can't be a wall, but we can't have it as part of the Heichel or the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we made two curtains to divide and create this area of the Amma. And that's why Rabbi Yossi's question is not difficult, because that was by the Mishkan, and this is by the second base of Mikdash. Now the Gemara continues with a Braisa that elaborates in Greek detail precisely how it is that he walked through the Heichel. As the Gemara brings, talking about the Braisa. Bein Hamizbech Lemenoro Hoy Mahalach de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that how did he walk? There's many different things in the Heichel. What was the route that he took? So Rabbi Yehuda holds that he went between the Mizbeach, which was in the center of the Heichel, and the Menorah, which was on the southern part of the Heichel. So when he's coming in, he heads towards the southern part to go between the Mizbeach HaPanimi and the Menorah, which is on the southern part, and he goes until he reaches the Pareches. Rabbi says, no, Bin Shulchan LeMizbeach. You go between the table, which is on the northern part of the Heichel, and the Mizbeach, which is in the center, and that's how he takes that route to get to the Pareches. B'yesh Eimer, in the third opinion of Braisa, some say, Bein Shulchan L'Kaisel. He actually went between the table, which is very close to the northern wall, and the wall itself. And he basically went by the wall, by the northern wall, between the wall and the Shulchan, and that's how he went to the curtain. So the Gemara asks, Man Yesh Eimer, who is this third opinion mentioned in the Braisa that says that he goes all the way by the northern wall? So Amrav Chizda, Rabbi Yesi, it's Rabbi Yesi Dama that he says in our Mishnah that there was only one curtain, not two curtains. That Pischa B'tzafen Kaina, where was the entryway? Where was the opening of this one curtain? That was in the northern part. And therefore, because by the northern part, the curtain was pulled, doubled over towards the outside. And that's the way you would come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. As the Mishnah later on says, according to the Rabbanan, that they say the outer one, which they say there was two curtains, was pulled outward from the southern part. And then he comes from the southern part. Then he walks through that Amma space, comes to the second curtain, which is by the northern part, and that's how he walks in. Now, according to Rabbi Yossi, who held there was only one curtain, so where was it pulled back? On the northern part. Because regarding that, he doesn't argue under Rabbanan, how did you ultimately get into the ear space of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was in the northern part, because that makes sense, because the higher sanctity is in the northern part, as Kodesh HaKadoshim have to be in Tzafen. So therefore, he agrees to the Rabbanan that ultimately the curtain that gets you into the Kodesh HaKadoshim opens up on the northern part. Just they say you go to the south because it opens up the first curtain on the southern part, and then you walk in between the curtains to the northern. But according to Rabbi Yossi, it was only one. It opens up on the northern, and therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, when you're walking in, go all the way to the wall and take that northern wall straight, and you're going to go straight into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. However, Behuda, he would tell you the reason why he says that you go on the southern part is because Pischa B'Darmkai, because the opening is on the southern part, because he goes like Drabbanan, who hold that there were two curtains, and the outer one was pulled back on the southern part, as the Mishnah later on says, and therefore he would walk between the Mizbeach and the Menorah, because that's the direction he has to go, according to his opinion. Now the Gemara later on will ask, according to Rabbi Yehuda, then why didn't they take all the way to the southern wall, just like Rabbi says the northern wall, you should walk all the way in the southern wall and take it to the opening and then walk through the amah space of the two curtains and then go by the northern part. But the Gemara will address that later on. So we understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that you go by the southern part. We understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, you go by the northern wall. But the Gemara asks, Remeir command severely, who does Remeir hold like? Remeir says you go between the Shulchan, which is on the northern part, and the Mizbeach, which is in the middle. As the Gemara explains, if Remeir holds like Rabbi Yehuda that you had two curtains and you would enter from the southern part, so nail Rabbi Yehuda, then he should hold that you enter like Rabbi Yehuda and going to the southern part, not in the northern part of the Heichal. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda that there was one entryway, one curtain, and the entry was by the all the way by the northern end, so nail Rabbi Yehuda, he should hold that you go in like Rabbi Yehuda, not as he says, between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach, which is in the northern part, but it's still somewhere central. But rather, he should have gone all the way on the northern wall between the Shulchan and the wall. Why is he going necessarily some cutting through between the Mizbeach and the Shulchan? Now, the Gemara answers, La'olam k'Rabbi Yehuda, really. Truthfully, Remeir held like Rabbi Yehuda. There was only one curtain, and the opening was all the way on the northern end of the wall. However, Amalachi would tell you, the reason why you couldn't go all the way by the northern wall like Rabbi Yehuda, because he holds Shulchanus Tzafin V'Dor Menachem. He held that the tables were placed north to south. And that is, as Rashi explains, Shlomo HaMelech made, besides the one that Moshe Rabbeinu made, the Shulchan that's mentioned in the Mishkan, he made 10 other tables. As it says in Divrei Yamim Beis, that there were 5 to the right and 5 to the left. Now, a Braisa Menachem says that when it says 5 to the right and 5 to the left, it can't mean 5 to the right of the opening of the Heichal, which means 5 in the northern part of the Heichal and 5 in the southern part. Because if that would be the case, then you would have a Shulchan in the southern part. And the Torah tells you clearly that the Shulchan should be placed al tzel atzaf, and it should be on the northern part. So that couldn't be. So rather, what does it mean 5 on this on the right side and 5 on the left? Rather, it means from the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, who is in the middle, you had 5 to the right of the Shulchan of Moshe and 5 to the left of the one of Moshe. However, that has a machlokes tanoim. What does that mean? There's an opinion that says that the Shulchanis were going east from east to west. And that means the one of Moshe Rabbeinu was in the middle. And then when one comes in on the northern part, going from east to west, are these two rows of Shulchanis. They have 5 on the right side of that one and 5 on the left one, but they're going from east to west. But there's another opinion that holds that they were going, the one of Moshe Rabbeinu was in the middle, but they were going from north to south. And you have on one side and the other side, two rows. Now, Remeir held, like the one who says it was going from north to south. Therefore, that means that the edge of the tables would go one after another from north to south. And you have 5 in one row and 5 in another row. Now, the table itself had a length of 2 amas, which if you have the two rows, it means each row is a length of 10 amas. Now, you have to say, by default, according to that, that the edges of the table reach all the way touching the northern wall. Because if you say that they were pulled back a little bit from the northern wall, then it would come out that there were some of the tables that were in the southern part, because the width of the Heichal was 20 amas. Now, it comes out that the northern part of the Heichal is a total, a maximum of 10 amas. Now, therefore, you can't have any of the tables in the southern part. So therefore, umafsikalei shulchan, that means obviously, if you were trying to walk on the northern wall according to Remeir, the table would be in your way. V'lo mesaylei, you wouldn't be able to walk in that way between the table and the wall, because we said the tables had to be all the way up against the wall, and they ended right in the middle at the border of where the southern part would reach. And therefore, according to Remeir, you couldn't take the route that Rabbi Yehuda told him, because he holds that the tables were touching the wall and you couldn't walk that way. Now, Rashi says, if that's the case, then how does Remeir say you walk between the Mizbeach and the Shulchan? There's no room there either, because the Mizbeach was exactly in the middle of the Heichal. Now, the Shulchanos, they stop right by where the southern part touches. So therefore, it's touching the Mizbeach. That means you couldn't even walk between the Mizbeach and the Shulchanos. Now, Rashi says no, because as the Gemara said on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, that the Mizbeach is not exactly aligned with the menorah and the shulchan. It can't be in between. So the shulchanos were not lined up directly with the mizbeach. It rather was pulled a little bit outwards towards the east. And therefore, although they were both reached to the middle, but there was a space between them. And therefore, what Remeir holds is that the Kohen Gadol would walk between the mizbeach. He would be coming from the right and go between the mizbeach and the shulchanos, and then he would come back around the tables to go in the northern part, because he was able to get through diagonally Although, if one is walking in the straight line, they actually line up. But since it's pulled out more towards the west, that's how he was able to get by. But the northern wall, he can't hold like Rabbi Yossi, and that's why he held that he took that route. That's one answer the Gemara gives. Or if you want, you could say that La'ila Mizrach Marav Menachem. Truth, he held like Rabbi Yossi, that there's only one opening on the northern part, and therefore the Gemara's question was, then he should just walk straight in the northern wall. So the Gemara wanted to say, oh, because they're north to south, there's no room to go. The Gemara says, no. He could hold like the other Manda Amar, that there were five to the right of Moshe running from east to west, and the other one was also east to west, and therefore had nothing to do. It wasn't blocking the whole northern area. It wasn't going that way. It was going the other direction. And therefore, one could actually go through the northern part. However, Mishum Shechina, he held that because of the divine presence, Lav Oyech Aretz, not respectful, and the Gemara continues on the top of Num Bezim and Alf, Lemei Lehedya, to walk in straight. In other words, if he's taking the route that Rabbi Yossi said, it means from the second you're coming in, you're going to the northern wall of the Heichel, and the entire walk through the Heichel, you're looking straight into the Kodesh HaKodeshim through the opening that there is over there, which there is an opening over there, and so that's not appropriate. And therefore, although you're right, you could walk that way, and there's nothing blocking you, but you don't want to walk there and be looking at the Kodesh Kodeshim the whole time and having that pleasure because of the divine presence that's there. And therefore, he held that you walk on a different route to get around over there, and only at the end you come straight to the opening. Rabbi Yosef would tell you that no, to the contrary. Chaviv in Yisrael, the Jewish people are precious. That really, the Torah does not even require them to even send a messenger, the Kohen Gadol, Kippurim, to do that later. Rather, each one could daven for themselves, as the Pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, Asheyed and Ish Negelavav, everyone knows what's wrong with them, Upars Kavelabaisa, and they could stretch out their hands and daven to this house, to the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, they're precious that the one that they ultimately do send couldn't walk straight in with pomp and walk straight in and looking at the Kodesh HaKodeshim, because although generally it's not appropriate, but on the day of Kippurim with the Kohen Gadol, it is appropriate that he should be walking straight and seeing the Kodesh HaKodeshim throughout the whole circuit that he's taking throughout the walk of in the Heichel. So that's why it's not difficult contra Rabbi Yossi. However, contra Rabbi Meir, again, we have two answers why he doesn't, although he holds like Rabbi Yossi, that there was one opening on the Tzafen, he didn't take that way either because the tables were blocking or because it's not appropriate. Now the Gemara concludes with Rabbi Yehuda Nami, but according to Rabbi Yehuda also, that he holds that fine, there were two curtains and therefore he entered from the southern part, but Nail Be Menorah LeKaisel, he should enter from between the Menorah and the southern wall, he should go straight there also. Why is he taking this diagonal route? Now the Gemara says, Mashrei Mani, his clothing would get dirty, it would get dark, it would get black, because the menorah was right next to the wall, and it made it black from the smoke, which made the wall black, and therefore if he took that route, he will get smudged from walking by the wall, and his garments would get soiled, would get black, and therefore, although it should seem like the exact thing like Rabbi Yossi, which you take the northern wall, you should take the southern wall, however, the southern wall was different because it was black from smoke from the menorah, and that's why, although you're taking the southern route, he went between the menorah and the Mizbeach, and not the southern wall itself.